All right. Read your bulletin. There's a lot of good things in there. A baby dedication. Soccer's coming up. Men's prayer breakfast next Saturday. All those good things. And always keep that in mind. But today we're on lesson 5 of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And as always, I hope you guys are picking up a few things on these lessons and learning a little bit, because, you know, if you're not learning, you know, you're going backwards. You got to always be learning in the Lord. No, we've not, even though we have obtained what God wants us to have, He wants us to continually learn who He is. And so, you know, we can't just sit back. We need to constantly be learning who God is, the depths of His love, the depths of His Bible, and how it applies to our lives. And going through this little series on faith, it's like I said, I don't know if it's for you, but it's for me, and it's helped me see things. And so even teaching this class helps me out probably more than it helps you guys out, because it shows me things, and it shows me, wow, this is neat, because getting in the Word of God and studying it out, you will learn things that God wants you to learn. And so hopefully you guys are in your Bible every day, because you've got to be in your Bible. You've got to be in your Bible on a daily basis, and you got to be praying on a daily basis, because it's all about having a relationship with God. And the only way He's speaking to us right now is through His Word. And you got to have the Holy Spirit to help you to understand that. And then you talk back to Him with prayer. And it's a sweet relationship, but you've got to do it. Okay? So, on faith here, this guy, Abraham, is just awesome. I think the guy is a neat guy. And at times I look at him and I'm like, what a jerk. And like I said, it gives me hope, because I'm like, I think I do things pretty decent at times. And there are some times when I just flat blow it. So, you know what? When I see that with Abraham, I'm like, okay, so maybe it's not so bad with me. Because God will just use people, whoever they are, and sometimes you obey God, you do things that's right, things work out, and other times you just flat disobey God. And yet, God will still use you, but you need to have that relationship where you can go back and you can tell Him, hey, Lord, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that, I didn't do what was right. As long as you make things up with God, keep the relationship going, you move on. It's kind of like a relationship with your wife or your husband, right? Or your kids, okay? And so, it's neat. And so we're going to see that with Abraham. That's what I like about the Bible. And just pull out the basic truths that you see that you can use in your life. You know, people that keep saying that, well, you know, Bible's not relevant. I hate that word, because I hear this all the time. The Bible's not relevant to your life. I'm like, have you read it? You know, Greg Axe, I've said this before. Greg Axe is one of my favorite Bible preachers. People ask him all the time. How many of you know who Greg Axe is? Okay, a lot of us. He was here last Bible conference one night. And he's just an old preacher that loves the Word. And they'll ask him, well, Greg, how did you get to the Bible knowledge that you have? And you know his comment is? He goes, I bought a Bible and I read it. He bought a Bible and he read it. And that's it. You've got to read the Bible, okay? So, on your handout there, if everybody has one, review faith. Now, I've been beating on this for a couple weeks. I even got had the opportunity to preach in the main service, and I preached on this. And so everything runs together. Even I'm teaching HBI, and the things I'm teaching in there are running into this. That's kind of how God does it. He just kind of, everything just kind of is swirling around faith right now in my life, and I'm seeing it with the people I'm dealing with, or the people I'm preaching about or talking about. And one of them's Abraham. But faith is a possession that we have, right? Mm-hmm. That contains the promises that we expect based on what? God's Word. Now, for a long time, I couldn't really define what faith is. And we all had our definition of faith. But it's something that we have. It's a possession that gives us the assurance of the promises that we are expecting to receive based off of God's Word. Now, Abraham and Sarah were, and we've talked about them last week. You have a blank there, I believe. Abraham and Sarah were rewarded for obeying God. How many of you think that you will be rewarded if you obey God? Hopefully all of us. Okay? And so they were rewarded for obeying God. So hold your finger in Hebrews 11, because we'll be back. I want you to turn over to Psalms. Psalms chapter 19. Psalms 19 is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, too.
Psalms chapter what?
19. This is an awesome chapter. How many of you have seen this and studied it out a little bit? Okay. So, most of the time we look at this, we look at the first six verses, but I want to look at verses 7 through 11. So, Psalms 19, starting in verse 7, says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." So the Bible just tells us here, basically, the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, all of those, by keeping them, there's great reward. Where would you find those at? In the Bible, in His Word. By keeping God's Word, we're going to be rewarded. Okay? And so Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament, God told them to do things, and most of the time they did it, not always, but when they did it, what happened to their life? They were rewarded. Same thing in our life. If we obey God's Word and put it in our heart and live our life accordingly, we're going to be rewarded, number one, here, because our life here is going to be much better. But our rewards in heaven are going to mount up also. So we are rewarded for obeying God. Okay? And so let's go back to Hebrews 11. So, and I haven't even got to where I'm going yet. But the first thing, I think you have a bullet point, is that they received new names. You know, Abraham and Sarah, that wasn't their original name. You know, you had Abram. Was Abraham's name to begin with. And Abram means exalted father. We see that in Genesis 17:5. His name, God changed his name to father of multitudes. And then you have Sarah. And in Genesis 17:15, God said her name is going to change from Sarai. And most of my people that I've studied that out means it means princely. But I saw one place that said it means contentious, so I'm not sure. That was what Sarai means. But then when he changed to Sarah, it means princess. So for all those ladies out here, their name is Sarah, I guess they really are princes, because that's what their name means. But he got a new name, and she got a new name. You know, the Bible tells us that we have a new name that's written down in glory. You know, it's in a song. And nobody knows it. You know, Christ has a name and nobody knows that. But at one point, we're going to get a new name. We're going to get the meaning of that name. And we're going to find out what Christ's name is, what His name is also once we get there. So they received new names. That was a blessing because God was using them to fulfill His word and His promises. So not only that, they were rewarded because they received blessings and promises. So if you go back and think about Sarah and Abraham's life, did God bless them? Every time they obeyed him, he did. And I'm like, that's a perfect example for us. If we just obey what God tells us and what His Word says, we're going to be blessed. We're going to get promises. We've already seen that. But then the third bullet point here, it says they, Abraham and Sarah, they received a son when it was physically impossible to do so. So impossible goes in the blank. Now I understand a little bit about that, because it took us several tries before we had our first child, Jeremy. And then it was 10 years before him and Hannah. And so babies were precious to us, and getting them was not easy. And, you know, and just seeing what a woman goes through in childbirth, that's not easy. But yet they received a son when it was physically impossible for them to have one. Okay. And I know children can be the greatest blessing, and they can be the biggest tearjerker in your life. But they are still a blessing from God. Okay? And so they left when they were 75 years, I think we looked at last week, from Haran. And it wasn't until they're about 90 and 100 when they get Isaac. So they believed what God said. God came through. Can you imagine that? God came through. God always comes through. And He gives them a son. So what do you think? How strong do you think their faith was after that Isaac was born? I mean, they're probably like at this point, like, okay, God, whatever you tell me, I'm going to believe it. You know, God took Abraham out and showed him the stars. He goes, your seed's going to be like this. This was even before Isaac was born. And He's like, your seed's going to be like the stars. Basically, your kids and their kids' kids and your grandchildren are going to be so numbered you won't be able to number them. They're going to be like the stars. And Abraham's like, okay, I believe you.
And also, when you think about Abraham went to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. He did it knowing that, okay, I have faith. God gave me Isaac at my old age. He'll either give me another son or He'll give me Isaac back. You know, he had the faith to do it.
Okay, and we're going to look at that. So you're jumping ahead just a little bit. But you're right. You're absolutely right. And so, again, how strong is our faith? Is it stronger now than when we got saved? Do you trust God more now than you did the day you got saved? And it should be yes, because God's brought you through things. Okay? And so I remember, you know, I had a heart attack 9 years ago, almost about a month ago. And I remember sitting at the table, and I'm like, or sitting on the cath lab, and I'm laid out on the operating table or whatever they call that on the cat, just naked as a jaybird. And that kind of bothered me for a little bit. I'm just nothing on. And I'm like, everybody's running around, all these nurses, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And I'm like, okay, Lord, whatever you want. I mean, I'm okay. You want to take me? I'm fine. If you don't want to take me, fine. I told that to Brian. You know what he told me? He goes, you just hopped up on some drugs. I go, Brian, my own pastor, you're just hopped up on drugs. I go, I don't think so. I was okay. I just told God, I'm okay with whatever you want. Just don't let it hurt. But you know what? I don't remember it hurting. I really don't. So did God honor that? So I'm okay. My point is, I probably couldn't have done that at 25. But now I'm like, I realize, man, I basically belong to you. And so I realize every day we get is another gift from God. And so when you're young, you don't get that. But the older and the longer you spent, you realize, okay, I am yours, God. But anyway, Abraham was there. But how's our faith? Is it stronger than it was when we got saved? Is it even stronger than a year ago? It needs to be. It should be stronger every day that we have. So, okay, so we're already in Hebrews. So I want to read chapter 11, Hebrews, starting in verse 17 to 19. And it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. that he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And let's see, where am I going? To 19. According that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So like Sharon was talking about, his faith had grown to the point now that he realized, okay, I'm going to offer Isaac up, and but God's going to bring us through this. He's either going to give me a new son or somehow raise Isaac from the dead. So his faith is to the point, and we're going to see that in the story. But the thing is, his point number one, Abraham was tested on this faith, which really comes back and gets me. It's like, does God test me on my faith? Does God test you guys on your faith? And I see that a lot, and I see people, what's it going to, and he will use probably one of the most precious things that we have to test us on. Because that's what he did with Abraham. To see if we're going to obey him or if we're just going to not obey him. And so Abraham's on the test here. So we know that Abraham obeyed the Lord. But let's go back to Genesis. So we're kind of done with Hebrews. We're spend most of our time in Genesis today looking at this. Because again, how can we apply what we learn from Abraham into our life? Well, here, it's real simple for us guys, or probably ladies too. Do what Abraham did, as long as he was obeying the Lord, and when he didn't, don't do the things he didn't do. Okay, that's pretty simple, right? And so back to Genesis 22, and I want to read 1 through 18 for the story. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." And now that's the first time that you'll see love in the Bibles right there. And you know how I know that? I got it written down on the side on my wide margin because I heard some other preacher tell me that. And I looked at it, and they were right. So that's why I keep telling you guys, get a wide margin Bible, and when God gives you something cool in it, write it down. Because you'll get like me and forget things, okay? So that's the first time you'll see love in the Bibles right there, and that's important. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And you're sitting there, and if you're Abraham, you're like, God, are you talking to me here? Are you telling me to do this? You know, that's what probably I would be saying. But look at verse 3. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." So that, again, is what Sharon is referring to. Look at his faith here. Verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seest that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, and he took the ram, and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn unto the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So again, he goes over some of those promises that he'd already given him. But Abraham was tested with the most precious thing he had, was his son. Can you imagine that? Now, I mentioned this, I think, last week or the week before. Every man, when he's married and he has children, he wants a son. Now, the wife may want a daughter, which is just, you know. So, but the man wants a son. Why? Number one, he wants his name to move forward. And so that's one thing. But then you realize that that may not happen. But that's what most young men want. That's what I wanted. I wanted a son, and God was gracious to me. He gave me a son. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, well, at least my name will go forward. The halls will keep moving down the road, and we'll move on to another generation. Well, my son's not married, and he has no kids. But my daughter, she has kids. So either way. But the deal is, you want children, and you want children that produce, but every man wants a son. And to take a man that can't bear children and a wife that can't bear children and give them a son and then ask him to take that son and kill it, that's the biggest test that anybody would ever have. And so, well, you know what that tells me? God will use something in my life to test me at some point that's precious to me. And it could not, it might, it'll be something. Anything that's precious to me, God may take it away, and he'll want to see how we react. He'll do the same thing with you guys. What's more precious than the Lord? Now, all of us have our issues with our kids, right? There's not one of us that doesn't. But you know what? No matter what your kids do, what do we need to do? Keep focused on what the Lord wants us to do. And I'm telling you that from my personal experience. Okay? Keep the Lord focused in your life, and let God take care of the situation. So, Abraham, in this story, I have some bullet points. He decided quickly, and now this, I'm telling you what I would do here. I would mull over this for a while. If I was Abraham, he decides that night. God says, "I want you to do this," and he decides, "Yep, I'm going to do this," right? He doesn't wait the next day. He doesn't wait the next week. I'm a big procrastinator. I would have put it off and put it off. And I'm like, okay, you know, if the Lord told me about three times, you need to do this. Okay, maybe I'll do it, you know. But he's Johnny on the spot. He decides quickly, and he prepares for the trip. Not only, I mean, he does this. I mean, he gets everything prepared. Okay, back in verse 3, it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. So he took his servants, his donkey, and his provisions." He was told that he needed to go to the land of Moriah. Okay, so that's in verse 2. And so Moriah means, let me give you a definition here, it means the Lord provides. Isn't that interesting? Moriah goes in your blank. Wasn't there a western movie and they had in it? It's what?
Paint Your Wagon.
Paint Your Wagon. And they start out with a song, Moriah, right? Isn't it? I'm like, I don't know if that song has anything to do with this, but I just remember the name Moriah. Okay. But it means the Lord provides. So he was told to go to a mountain which he would tell him. Now, Abraham had done that before, hadn't he? When he left Mesopotamia, God told him to go to Canaan. And he goes, I'll tell you when you get there. So again, imagine Abraham, you know, loading everything up on the wagon or car or whatever. I mean, he didn't have a car. So I'm assuming he has a wagon or a donkey or whatever. And he's loading everything up. Where are you going? I don't know. Wherever God tells me. I'll know it when I know it. That's what my wife tells me at times. I don't know. I'll ask her something. She goes, I don't know. But when I see it, I'll know it. And I'm like, and I've learned to go with it because I hate to admit that she's usually right when she says that. So it's like, do you want this? Do you want that? I don't know. Do you want this? Do you want that? I don't know. I'll know it when the right one comes along. The right one comes along. She goes, that's the one. And you know what? I'm kind of the same way. God will just give you the sense to know this is the one you've been waiting for. Okay. And that's what God told Abraham. He goes, you just start walking. It's going to be in the, he probably had an idea where Moriah was. He started going in the right direction. And God says, when you get there, I'm going to let you know. Okay. So he was told that it would be on a mountain. Okay. We see that in verse 2. Okay. And he was told that he would know it when he got there. He didn't know this, but when we read the story, it says in verse 4, then on the, what day? Third day. And you know what? If you're a Bible student and you read your Bible, you're going to always realize when you see a third day somewhere in the Bible, it's always referring somehow, some way to the crucifixion of Christ. He's in the ground 3 days and he resurrects. Somehow this story is going to connect to the resurrection of Christ. Somehow. Okay? You just know that. Okay, so he was told it would be a 3-day trip to the mountain, not a 3-hour tour. A few of you get that. Okay. Where'd that come from?
Gilligan, right?
Gilligan's Island. Okay, so he was prepared for the sacrifice. What I see in this story, God told him to do something, and he prepares. Okay, so number 3. He prepared for the trip, and number 3, he prepared for the sacrifice. He brought the wood, and when your bullet points, he brought the fire. Now, I don't know how he did the fire, because I'm sure he didn't have the fire in his hand when he left where he was, but from the morning that he took off, that third morning, he already sees the mountain, and he tells his young men, you guys stay here, and we're going to come back. But from that point, he takes the fire somehow in his hand. I don't know if he has a torch. I don't know if he has a piece of wood with it burning. I don't know. But it says here, he brought the wood. He brought the fire. He brought a knife. Didn't mention that at the beginning. But if you're going to have a sacrifice, you've got to kill the sacrifice, right? So he had to have a knife. And he brought the sacrifice. Sacrifice goes in your blank.
Okay, it's interesting in what we read that Isaac says, okay, but where's the burnt offering? I mean, and to me it tells me that they did this real often. I mean, he was used to his father presenting the offerings to God, and there was a burnt offering. Okay, but where is it? And I wonder if he, as he went up the mountain, I wonder if he was looking around, I wonder where the burnt offering is.
So he asked mm-hmm. Abraham that question. So no, you're absolutely right. And so this is, not only is this a test of Abraham's faith, we're going to see it's a faith on Isaac's part also. Because we don't really see that in the story. But we're going to talk about that. So let's keep going. So he was prepared, number 4, to come back with Isaac that we saw in verse 5. Because verse 5 told us, let's get back to where I'm at here. It says, and Abraham said unto his young men, remember there's 2 of them, right? Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So again, he's planning on coming back. He's prepared to come back. Number 5, he was prepared to answer Isaac's question. Because just like you said, where is the lamb? A lamb goes in your blank. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? You know, that is one of the greatest questions in the Bible. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And in essence, when people stand before God at the great white throne judgment, I don't envy any of those people that stand there, because most of those people will be lost. The question they will have to answer is, what have you done with my son? What have you done with the Lamb of God as far as your belief on him? So we ask this question, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Fantastic question. Important question. So he was paying attention. He knew what was going on to a degree. And it's one of the greatest questions of all time. But it also got an answer from his father, Abraham, which is one of the greatest answers of all time also. God will provide himself a lamb. He didn't say God will provide a lamb. He didn't say we'll find a lamb. He said God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.
Got two meanings.
Yeah, several meanings there. So turn over to John 1:29 in the Bible. Back to the New Testament again. And I gotta hurry up and get this thing wrapped up.
Thank you.
John 1:29 tells us, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and Jesus and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, and this is the second time, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So again, this is a reference. This has got a meaning, double meaning, like Roger said. The Lamb is going to be Jesus Christ. So this is a picture. The fact that he's going to sacrifice his son is a picture of what Jesus is going to be. He is going to be the sacrifice. Okay? And so let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to look at another passage right quick. And I do have to move. Exodus chapter 12. And we see another story about a sacrifice. And this is the night before the people left Egypt. And the story of the Passover here, and it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, Exodus 12:1, and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you, speaking unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th month of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep from among the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses, whereof they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. And so I'm going to stop right there, because you guys know the story. Again, here we have a picture of a sacrifice that takes place, which the Passover, this is the original Passover here, but there's a sacrifice there. And again, it's another picture of a lamb being sacrificed for the sins of the people. And again, it's another picture, just like Abraham getting ready to sacrifice his son. All of these picture the sacrifice that we have in Christ, because God did provide his son, Jesus, to be sacrificed for our sins. So back in the story in Genesis, back in Genesis 12, we see here that this sacrifice that Abraham is making with Isaac is a burnt offering. That's what it says back in the passage, okay? And so we find out, I think it's in your handout, that there's a blank here. We see it in Leviticus 1:1-4, that a burnt offering is for a covering of sin, and it was a voluntary offering. So in the Old Testament, when they would do a sacrifice and it was a burnt offering sacrifice, it was an offering for sin. Okay? And it was a blood sacrifice. And it's voluntary. Okay?
Is it like a free will offering?
Yes. And so my point I'm trying to make here is when Abraham offered up Isaac, it was a voluntary offering. But when Christ sacrificed himself for us, he did it voluntary also. He didn't have to do it. Okay? He could have said, I'll just wipe these guys out. I'll start over with a new group. But he didn't do that. Okay? And so it was also voluntary.
So what are the two, what do we fill the last two blanks there?
Okay, so the last two blanks are voluntary goes in, the voluntary offering goes in right before Leviticus. Do you have a blank ahead of that?
Okay, so it was a voluntary then.
Yeah, it's a voluntary offering.
And what's the one before it?
The one before that is God will provide himself a lamb. I'm sorry.
Okay, I have a question. So the burnt sacrifice was for sin, and it was a voluntary sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus was a voluntary sacrifice, but he wasn't a burnt offering.
But, well, not all pictures are exactly perfect. So, but his blood was shed. So he wasn't burnt, but his blood was shed like the lamb.
He did descend down into hell, right?
Yes, but his body was not corrupted
or destroyed.
Not all pictures line up exactly, but most of the offerings that were blood offerings in the Old Testament were burnt offerings. And we'd have to go back to
the New Testament.
In the New Testament, we don't have any offerings because Christ is that offering.
But that's when Christ.
When Christ
was the offering.
Was the offering. He's the lamb.
So is that because it's in the New Testament maybe that he wasn't burnt?
I'd have to think about that a little bit. I hadn't really thought about being the fact that they were burnt in the old. And Christ wasn't burnt, but that's a good thing. We'll have to study that out a little bit. Anybody have something to say about that? Okay, I'm almost done, but something we got to look at. So, Abraham's faith was tested by the Lord when he was asked to give up the most precious thing that he had, his only son. This was a true test, and Abraham came through. Again, like I said, when he went to Egypt and all that stuff, there was times when Abraham bombed what God told him. But there was times when he came through with a flying, and this one is huge. Abraham's faith was revealed to the Lord, and the Lord provided a substitution. Substitution goes in your blank. And what a beautiful picture of what God has done for us by sending his son. It's not just to cover our sins. In the Old Testament, this was just done to cover their sins. In the New Testament, when Christ, which shed his blood for us, was buried and rose again on the third day, he didn't just cover our sins, he paid for them. And the reason is because Christ was sinless
They're blotted out.
And he had perfect, sinless blood that was able to pay for our sins. Old Testament, your sins were just covered. And if we go back and look at the story, we'll see that. Okay? So in the New Testament, God gives us better promises. And we see that in Hebrews 7, 22, chapter 8, verse 8, chapter 11 and 40 of Hebrews. And so, what can we learn from this story? Our faith is going to be tested. God's going to test our faith. And that test is going to help our faith even grow more when we go through that with flying colors. And so, that's what we can learn from it. So I'm going to stop right there and we'll get ready for the second service. Father in heaven, we thank you for heroes in the Bible like Abraham that obeyed you, was rewarded, that put his faith in you and trusted in you, Lord, and you always had the best in his intentions for him, and you've given him promises, and Lord, you've given us even better promises than they had in the Old Testament. And so we get things that they don't have. And Lord, we thank you for their faith, Lord, but I pray because of what you've given us, that our faith would be strong also. So I pray for everyone that's here, Lord, that our faith would be shown with the people around us, the people at work, our families, our kids, and the people around us that will see our faith. I just pray that when they see us, they'll see Christ. And Lord, I just pray that you would use that for your honor and your glory. And in Christ's name, amen.
Bob, after listening to this message.